The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. So there's a story of two priests, a Franciscan and a Jesuit, driving to Holy Family for confirmation. And on the car, they were arguing about whether the Franciscans or the Jesuits or the more holy bunch. And they were distracted by the argument, and then, boom, they hit into a big telephone pole and went straight to heaven. And now standing right in front of the pearly gate, they were bummed. They're bummed because they're dead. But they were excited. They're stoked because, hey, we're in heaven. And then suddenly, there was this huge organ music. And then a huge red carpet rolls out long all the way down, right to the foot of the Jesuit. And then out comes all these Jesuit saints. St. Francis Xavier, René Goupil, Jean de Babeuf, all 50 of them. And then this organ music goes on, and then here comes St. Ignatius, the Spanish founder of the Jesuits, and he comes up, you know, bald and bearded, and he speaks in English because apparently in heaven he learns English. And then he says, thank you for being a good Jesuit. Welcome to heaven. And then now a beautiful sounding harp is heard. And this long powder blue carpet, like those blue in these of Mary, comes out. And now the Blessed Mother in this beautiful harp music comes out. So beautiful radiant color that Mother Mary wears. And then she comes up and she shakes the Jesuit's hand and she says, thank you for being a good Catholic. Welcome to heaven. And now, a beautiful trumpet sounds, and a white long carpet rolls to the foot of the Jesuit, and here comes Jesus himself, the Son of God. And Jesus comes up and smiling, as he does, lovingly and tenderly, and he shakes the Jesuit's hand, thank you for being a good Christian. Welcome to heaven. And now this Jesuit is crying because, oh my God, here's the founders, all this music, the Mother of God and the Son of God. He's so ecstatic. And then, whoop, all the carpet goes away and he goes in. And now the Franciscan is standing there and he's getting ready. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. There are more Franciscan saints than ever. I can't wait to see St. Clare because she's beautiful and pure. What am I going to say to her? And I can't wait to see St. Anthony. I can thank him for all those lost keys he found for me. Then I can thank, you know, St. Francis because he helps me to be poor. And St. Bonaventure, he's so smart, but whatever he writes, I have no idea. But I have so much to thank them. So he's getting all this ready. And come on, all this music. And then an hour comes, nothing. He waits for another 2 hours and then 3 hours. And now he gets kind of frustrated. And it's hard to get a Franciscan frustrated. He gets frustrated, and then from a side door comes out this little old Franciscan saint, no name, not recognizable, little old guy, and he comes out and he says, thank you for being a good Franciscan. Welcome to heaven. And the Franciscan priest says, come on, Gee, did I get gypped? Look at that Jesuit. He's got the founder, he's got the mother of God, the son of God. He's got the organ, the harp, the trumpet. I get nothing. What's wrong? And the little old Franciscan saint said, oh, you don't understand. Up here, we get Franciscans all the time, but it's been 250 years since we got a Jesuit. That's a true story. So here's another true story about Pope John the 23rd. He's a saint now, no? He opened Vatican II. So while he was archbishop and papal nuncio, which is basically the Vatican's ambassador to France, and he was in this beautiful, elegant Parisian party. Everybody is dressed nicely, and right across from him is a woman who's dressed in a low cut dress, you know, kind of like the dress that Lady Gaga wears, you know. And then a man sitting next to him tells the archbishop, "Ooh, that is so scandalous! That's so scandalous!" And John the 23rd, archbishop back then, is a simple man. He didn't understand. He's like, "Why? What's so scandalous?" And then the man says, "Don't you see that woman? Look at the dress she's wearing. Oh my gosh! Everybody's looking at her." And then John the 23rd says, "No, everyone is not looking at her. Everyone is looking at me to see if I'm looking at her." What's so funny? So what does these jokes have to do with the Holy Trinity? The 14th century German mystic Meister Eckhart says this. It's beautiful. I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to read it. "Do you want to know what goes on in the heart of the Trinity? I will tell you. In the heart of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us. When the Father, and when we laugh at God, the Trinity, we give joy to all of creation. So when the Father laughs at the Son and the Son laughs back at the Father, the laughter gives pleasure. And this pleasure brings joy. And joy gives love. And that is the Holy Spirit." So Meister Eckhart says that this whole laughter of God, which begins with the Father, we can change the Father to a mother, because God is way beyond gender, is this joyful laughter that comes out and goes forth and bears fruit in the world. You know, the Holy Trinity, what do we usually say? One Godhead, three in one. Three persons, one God. It's hard to understand, no? So that's why St. Patrick has that beautiful image of the shamrock, three-leaf clover. Unity, indivisible. Or in modern day, you know, every time we have an electrical plug, you know, the one with three prongs, if you plug it in, you have good electricity that's grounded. It doesn't go haywire. St. Hildegard of Bingen talks about the Holy Trinity is like the flame, the heat, and the light. They all go together. Yes, the flame is different, the heat is different, the light is different, but they all go together. And those are different metaphors, ways to help us access this great mystery. But actually, my favorite comes from St. Augustine. He says this: "The Holy Trinity is like the unified experience of love. You have the lover who loves the beloved. And the love that is exchanged between the two of them, the fruit of their love, is the Holy Spirit." And you can change that all around. But isn't it true? Isn't it true? These days, we, particularly some younger people, the focus is on relationships, particularly romantic relationships. But there's one problem. If you focus on relationship, there's only two of you. And the whole world goes aside. And that love isn't fruitful. But when you have a love that begets children, when you have a love that bears other ways of life-giving generation, you have three. And the nature of God is three, not two. And so this love that dances, the earlier fathers and mothers used this highfalutin words called perichorosis, meaning this dance of God, this mutual laughter of God, that you can't separate between the lover and the beloved and the love. They go together. And not just in that kind of love, good feeling, even on the cross. What happens on the cross? Well, let's backtrack first. In creation, God, out of love, gives birth to us. And in Jesus, on the cross, Jesus responds to God's great love and mercy by his own self-giving, sacrificing love. God receives it silently. And what happens? The Holy Spirit, in John's Gospel, is breathed upon on the cross. The big sigh of anyone who dies is the breath of the Spirit. The breath that gives birth to the church we celebrate last weekend in Pentecost. The breath of truth that will teach us everything that God has to share with us. So even in death, the self-giving love of Jesus, the accepting silence of God, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the cross, which we experience on Pentecost, even in suffering. These are just two examples. But the Holy Trinity, this oneness of a triune love, is everywhere in our lives, particularly in our family. And this nature of God, three in one, we are made it in the image and likeness of God, imago Dei. We bear this mark of God. I think in terms of human experience, the best concrete, not perfect, expression of the Trinity is when there is mutual self-giving love that bears fruit. Mutual self-giving love that bears fruit. That happens in loving family, father, mother, children. That happens in loving community, where they're not closed in upon themselves, the community that goes out forth and welcomes people. You have a place in the family of God. You have a place in the heart of God. Like the first reading, God delights in you. But these are words, unless you and I manifest, show a community that brings in all people who don't feel like they're welcome, who feel like they're outcasts. And this is the church that Pope Francis asked us to do. These are manifestations of the divine life of God, one in three. This communion of love that is mutual, that is life-giving, that expands, that cannot be contained. The second reading particularly talked about what happens when we're in affliction. Affliction brings endurance, and endurance brings character, which brings hope. And what is our hope? The love of God in Christ has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love of God in Christ, Christ on the cross, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You and I have this. We may be not be the best person today, or not the best Catholic, or we've been not doing great things. It doesn't matter. This love of God through Christ is poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And what happens at the Eucharist? At the Eucharist, when the priest, when I lift up the bread and wine, which represents ourselves, God gives us God's very self. And when we receive communion, we receive God's very self. Those movements. And when we say, go out, go forth, glorify God by your life, the love between, bless you, the love between you and God we receive here, that is to be shared. That is to be born. That is to be fruitful. So the nature of God, the nature of church, the nature of who we are as family, or any relationships that looks like a family, our nature is to be mutually self-giving, life-giving. And you can't be life-giving unless you laugh. And so it is true. But we don't always do this, because at church we can't laugh. We can't be joyful. We come to church, we have to sit like this. So thank you to those of you who laugh at these poor jokes, these poor Jesuits. But you know, one of the best ways to welcome people is to be joyful. Who wants to join a group of people not joyful? And that's our challenge. To receive the laughter of God, to become the laughter of God, so that the relationship that we have with God overflows into our life, into the world, and back into God. You pay attention at Mass, there are so many references to the Holy Trinity. The sign of the cross in the beginning and at the end. The greeting. The Gloria, that's all. The Creed. There's so much of the Trinity. But I hope after this, when you hear about Trinity, you just don't think of, oh, any great concept. I hope after this, when you think of the Trinity, it is a communion, a community of love, mutually self-giving, and mutually life-giving. We celebrate that today, but not here, not just here, out there, this week, in our families. So I'm going to ask, do what Protestants do. It's called stand up, call to action. So if you're over 50 years old, please stand up. I won't make you do anything. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you for being a wisdom and the bearer of our faith to our younger people. You can sit, thank you. If you are under 20 years old, stand up. Wonderful. Thank you. Your presence gave us hope. Thank you for being here. Now, if you are in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, stand up. Well, that's a lot of people. You are the bulk of the church oftentimes today, but we don't often see you active in the church. So would you get active and help us build this church of communion of love? Thank you. Thank you. So can I ask a group of people I've been working with for the past 2 years, this task force, the Trinity Ministry, there's about 15 of you. Can you all stand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, friends. So, right after Mass, please have a seat. Right after Mass, we are having a soft launch to launch a ministry for people, not just for people, but to welcome people, 20s, 30s, and 40s, to be more involved in the church. And if you're over 50, welcome. You can bring us deeper into the church. And we'll have some refreshment there. But this ministry is fairly new, because when you hear of young adult, you think, oh, I'm not 18, I'm not 20. No, we're talking about anybody in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, single, married, with children, without children, divorced, or any other rainbow of color you find yourself. You are welcome. This is our call, to be a communion of mutual self-giving love. Thank you for being here, and let us continue more than ever to manifest the divine life in us, in our families, in our community, so more people can be caught up in this love that is mutually self-giving, in this love which bears joyful fruits.